You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
God is good. He loves us. His grace abounds. His grace can change a life. And I trust that His grace has changed yours. Maybe you're new to faith. Maybe this whole Jesus thing is new to you, and He has grabbed your heart over these last little bits. I pray that maybe today is a day for you to make a decision to follow Jesus, that you've been overcome by His grace, that His love for you, your eyes have been opened. And I just encourage you to say yes to Jesus today, to receive His love and to become His child and to be made new. So, Okinawa, Japan. Maybe you're familiar with the city. Okinawa, Japan is a famous city in our world. It's famous not because of its picturesque views or the tourist attractions or anything like that. It's famous because they have the highest longevity numbers in the world. That means that the people in that city, they live the longest and healthiest lives out of anyone else in the world. That's quite a thing to be famous for, isn't it? Outliving us all. And scientists, they've long studied the people of Okinawa, Japan, and their longevity. They want to know the secret to their lasting life. And one of the factors scientists believe is key to success in Okinawa is an ancient tradition called a moai. When a child is very young, they are paired with about five other young children, and a lifelong commitment is made to one another. That is their moai, a group that becomes a second family who meet together regularly every week throughout their whole lives. Together, the moai become lifelong companions and a support for one another through the ups and downs of life, no matter what happens. And scientists believe that it is this moai, this group of lifelong friends, that is key to why people in Okinawa, Japan outlive all of us. Friendships are a powerful force. We need other people in our lives for support, for laughter, people to cry with, people to have our back, people to cheer us on and pray for us. Friendships can literally extend our lives. And researchers have also studied the happiest people in the world. And the researchers have found that the happiest 10% of people living in the world today, they all have one thing in common. And you might think that that one thing the happiest people in the world have in common is money, right? But it's not money. That's not the one thing they have in common, nor is it that they all live on a beach somewhere tropical in a nice warm place like Hawaii. That's not the one thing they have in common. Nor is it that they all have a great job or the freedom to travel anywhere in the world whenever they want. That's not what they have in common. The one thing that the happiest people in the world all have in common is that they all state a deep satisfaction in the relationships that they have. Relationships quite literally hold the universe together. If you asked a physicist, they would tell you that the universe is held together by a series of relationships between particles, quarks, and electrons. And if you were to ask a chemist, they would say that the universe is held together by the relationships that exist between atoms. Hydrogen atoms have a special bond with oxygen atoms, and they make water, which holds the world together. Relationships hold the universe together. And if you were to ask a theologian, they would say that the universe is held together by the relationship of love, that is God Himself. The most fundamental thing that we know about God is that he exists as one God expressing himself through the relationship of love that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At the center of the universe is a relationship. That's what my mentor, Daryl Johnson, would often say. At the center of the universe is a relationship. A relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's out of that relationship that all things have been made. And it's for that relationship that all things have been made. And that relationship of love is what quite literally holds the universe together. It's an astounding fact. But let me add another layer to the relationship story that the Bible tells us. In Genesis chapter 1, when we read about God creating the world and everything in it, when he creates the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars and the plants and birds and animals, even human beings, God creates it all and he says it is good. Very good, even. But then in Genesis 2, we read that Adam is all alone, and God says, it's not good. Everything was good in God's creation except Adam's aloneness. So God creates another. He creates Eve. And the story isn't about God being a matchmaker. We need to understand that. God isn't here saying that he wants everyone to be married. Jesus wasn't. Rather, this story is talking about our human need for relationships, a human need for one another, friendship. It is a powerful and necessary force in God's created order. Think about in your own life where you have experienced the power of friendship. Who is it that comes to mind for you? I want to suggest to you today that the most powerful of all friendships we can ever have in life are spiritual friendships. Friends with whom we can share our life in Christ. Someone close to me was reflecting about her friends from high school. And she was really close with these friends. But in the 10 years after high school, this woman had become a Christian while her classmates had not. And though they were still close friends, she lamented that there was a large part of her life that she simply couldn't share with her friends, or that wasn't shared with her friends. They couldn't quite fully understand her life. Of course, she could share her faith with them, but her faith wasn't shared with them, so to speak. They could only get so close. Now, her new faith in Jesus didn't mean that her old friends were any less important to her, not at all. But it did mean that there was this new level of friendship that was opened up for her that could only be shared by others who also followed Jesus. Spiritual friendships, they have the potential to go much deeper than any other friendship because they share the most fundamental thing about how we are made. They know the relationship from which we were made and for which we were made, the relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. They have the potential to go much deeper. Over the next month or so, the next 5 weeks actually, we're going to be preaching through a sermon series called The Way of Friendship. And through this series, I hope to cast a vision for you in cultivating spiritual friendships in your own life. And I have one single goal in mind. I want to help you become a spiritual friend to other people. It's a simple goal. But over these next 5 weeks, I want us to cultivate spiritual friendships with other people. And the intent, of course, isn't that they end after 5 weeks, but it catapults us into a new way of living with other people where we share the most fundamental thing about who we are, our life with God. If every one of us can take one single step in cultivating our spiritual friendships, our church will be the better for it, and Jesus will be all the more glorified amongst us. Leighton Ford, he's a leader of leaders in the North American church today. He puts the goal of this sermon series into focus for me. He says this, "Become the kind of friend that your heart longs for, and you will have all the friends your heart needs." So what is a spiritual friend? What does that mean, and what does it look like? Well, over the next 5 weeks, I hope the answer to that becomes a little more clear. But at the outset, let me give you a simple definition. A spiritual friend is someone who genuinely cares about your life in Christ, your life with Jesus. Those spiritual friendships include a great deal of things like commitment and time, prayer, laughter, tears, encouragement, confession, scripture, and Holy Spirit moments. Though the friendship contains all of those things, at the heart of it all, a spiritual friend is someone who genuinely cares about your life with Jesus. And when you care about another person's life with Jesus, it shapes the things you talk about and the way you talk. It shapes the things you do and your commitment to one another. It shapes everything about the relationship. Which means that spiritual friends come in different shapes and in different sizes. A spiritual friendship can be shared among our peers, but also with our spouse. Or it can come in different forms. It can come in the form of a parent, or a grandparent, or a pastor. Spiritual friendship, they come in different sizes and shapes. And some of our closest friends, they tend to be people who are of the same age and the same stage that we are. And those friendships, they go deep. They're cherished friendships. But spiritual friendships can come in other forms as well, like an older mentor or a youth leader. Or a grandparent, like I've mentioned. I want you to take a moment right now to think about the people that fit that description in your own life. Those who have shown a care and concern for your life in Christ. Who are they? And I want you to think about how those special people in your life have helped you follow Jesus. And now I want you to think about what our church would be like if we could all be friends like that. There are different shapes of spiritual friendships, but they also come in a variety of different sizes. Some friendships are really deep and they're ongoing. While others, they are maybe a little less frequent in visits and a little less involved. For instance, you might have a BFF that shares your love for Jesus, and you see them on a regular basis. They're like a spiritual Moai to you, a friendship where you see people regularly, you're committed to their life, they're committed to yours, and you live together regularly in the patterns of your life. Those kinds of friendships, they are precious. They go deep, but they are rare. And we only have a capacity for one or two or three of them. And not all spiritual friendships take that shape. Sometimes they're something that are a little less deep and consistent, but still highly significant. An example of this might be someone like a pastor or a mentor or a spiritual director in your life. A few times a year, I meet with a spiritual director myself. His name is Jay. And Jay has become a close spiritual friend to me. When we talk, it's always about my life with Jesus. He listens to me closely and he asks questions to help me hear God's voice in my life. He helps me hear what Jesus is saying to me. And he helps me have confidence to know that it's actually Jesus speaking. Jay says that we're soul friends. That's what he calls it. And the point is, we don't meet very often. But when we do meet together, we are intentional with our time and our conversation. He cares about my life with Jesus. He's not my BFF, but he's someone I need nonetheless. The Bible has many examples of spiritual friendships. And each one of them is showing us something different about what it means to be a soul friend to someone else. There's Ruth and Naomi, or David and Jonathan, Moses and Miriam. How about Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy? Or how about Priscilla and Paul? The list goes on and on and on. And the one relationship that I've been thinking about over the past few weeks is the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. And there's something important that Jesus says to his disciples about their friendship that I want you to hear today. It's in John 15, verse 15. It's the night before Jesus is going to willingly walk to the cross to bear the sin of the world upon his shoulders. And he's giving his final farewell words to his disciples. They've been following him for 3 years, and he's preparing them for the days ahead. This is what he says. Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, I want you to notice the reason that Jesus gives here for calling the disciples his friends. Jesus calls them friends because they have come to know everything that Jesus knows about his heavenly Father. This is profound. The friendship rests in the fact that Jesus has helped the disciples to see God. He's helped them see God's character. He's helped them see God's heart for people. And in the days ahead, as he goes to the cross, he will help them see God's plan for salvation. In the very beginning of the book of John, in the poem which introduces his gospel, John writes, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, he has made him known." Jesus makes God known to the disciples. And that's why he calls them friends. And see here, this is a key function of every spiritual relationship. Spiritual friends help us see God. Someone who cares about our life with Jesus, they help us see Jesus in our life. They help us hear his voice. They help us pay attention to what he is saying and what he is doing in our life and in the lives of the people we care about around us. They help us see God. And that's precisely the kind of spiritual friendship we see elsewhere in the Bible between Eli and Samuel. The stories in 1 Samuel chapter 3, maybe you remember the story. Eli is a priest in the temple, and he's an old man at this point. And Samuel is a young boy who is learning the ropes of being a priest. And as young Samuel is going to sleep one night, he hears this voice calling out to him, "Samuel." And thinking that it's the older priest, Eli. Samuel goes through to the other room saying, "Here I am. You called me?" And Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so it happens again. Samuel hears a voice calling him. So he gets up, he goes and asks Eli, "Here I am. Do you call me?" And Eli sends him back to bed. Again, it happens a third time. And this time, Eli wises up that something is going on. He recognizes that it's the Lord speaking to Samuel. So he tells Samuel to go back to bed. And if the Lord calls again, this time he is to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so Samuel does. He goes back to bed, and the Lord calls to him. And he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And God speaks. See, that night, Samuel learned to hear God's voice in his life because of Eli. And that's what spiritual friends do. They help us pay attention to God in our life. Do you have a friend like that? Or better yet, are you a friend like that to someone else? About 15 years ago, I was going through a really difficult time in my own life. I was struggling with both a debilitating anxiety where I couldn't really function at work, and I was going through what I like to call my quarter-life crisis. I had graduated from university, and I had no idea what I was going to do with my life, no idea what the Lord wanted me to do with my life, what He was inviting me into. And at that time, I was working with a close Christian friend of mine at the BC Cancer Agency in Vancouver. His name was Chad, and we shared an office. We virtually did everything together. We spent the whole day together because we did the same job in the same office. We would have lunch breaks together. It was a beautiful time in my life, though it was a very difficult time in my life. And Chad was walking closely with me through this time. He was caring for me. He was praying for me. He was my spiritual friend. And I remember one day he said to me, "Keith, I know you're struggling, but I've been praying for you. And I've noticed that you come alive when you are leading the youth at your church and telling them about Jesus. I think God is doing something both in you and through you as you serve the church. Have you ever thought about becoming a pastor?" It was Chad's question that helped move me out of my troubles, my debilitating anxiety, and my direction in the future. He set me on the road that led me here to be preaching this sermon today. You see, Chad helped me see where God was working in my life. And in the days ahead, he helped me discern a calling into pastoral ministry. Spiritual friends help us see God. My wife Gina has shared with all of you about a time in her life when she got a text from a friend of ours named Mark. And he texted saying to her, "Gina, I'm praying for you." And this scripture came to mind. And he sent her the words of Isaiah 61. And that text message to Gina was the Lord speaking directly to her heart. It was God's word for her in that moment. It rescued her from a pit. And Mark was doing what spiritual friends do, helping Gina see God in her life. You know, this is something that each one of us can do in the lives of the people around us. We can be that kind of spiritual friend to the people in our own lives. And so let me get to two very practical questions this morning, the who and the how. First, the who. Who are the people in your life right now that you can be a spiritual friend to? I'm aware that as I speak about spiritual friendships, for some of you, you can call to mind a few satisfying relationships, and you're approaching this conversation with ease. Others of you, though, you might be feeling a little uneasy. Either you long for a deep connection and you haven't found it, Or the thought of all the work involved in keeping a friendship, it feels daunting to you. But let me encourage you with this. The step for you to take today isn't to start a new friendship. It's like pushing a boulder that's so heavy to get it rolling. That's not the first step to start a new friendship. But rather, it's to be intentional with the people you already know, who are already in your life, to be a spiritual friend to them. I trust that there are people in your life already that you could easily take a more intentional interest and concern in their life with Jesus and have your actions show it. So, church, be asking Jesus to give you eyes to see the people around you who you can be a friend to and care for their life in Christ. Which brings me to the second thing, the how. Well, I'm not one who likes to really tell people how to do things because I believe the Spirit of God can lead you in that. But let me offer two simple things that can help us cultivate a deeper spiritual friendship with the people around us. Two things. We can cultivate spiritual friendships through the power of a question and the power of prayer. First, the power of a question. We can ask questions that draw people's attention to God in their life. Pastor Marcus, a few weeks ago, he told me about a friend of his who always asks him, "How's your life with Jesus these days?" It can be a really strange and awkward way of starting a conversation, can't it? But for Marcus, when this man would ask him this question, it was this invitation into spiritual conversation. It was an invitation into spiritual friendship. It was an invitation to see what is so often not called to our attention, Jesus' presence in our life. And as the friend would ask it every time, Marcus came to anticipate the question, which only raised his sense of awareness about the Lord's presence in his life. There's power in asking the right kinds of questions to help people see God in their life. I remember personally talking with Jay, the soul friend I told you about just a moment ago. And I was really wrapped up in that particular time I was talking to him. I was wrapped up in this unresolved disagreement that I had with Gina, my wife. And I can't remember what it was about, which probably means I was completely in the wrong, which is true. Let's be honest, I was definitely in the wrong. And I remember being quite honest with Jay and talking about my stubbornness and sharing with him that I didn't want to apologize to Gina because I really wanted her to make the first move toward reconciliation. Perhaps you've been there in a relationship. Well, Jay simply listened to me. He listened to me, and rather than offer advice or take sides, he simply asked me a question that has stuck with me. He said, "Keith, do you think Jesus wants the best for your relationship with Gina?" Simple question. But in the question, the Spirit of God cracked open my mind and my heart to God's presence in my life. It was an aha moment for me. Of course, Jesus wanted the best for my relationship with Gina. And because he cares for my marriage, it brought this awareness that he didn't care for the way I was treating it. And he didn't care for unresolved anger that allows things to fester. And so knowing that Jesus was behind me and wanted the best for my relationship, I went home right away and I apologized to Gina, knowing that God was with me. Jay's question, it helped me see God in my life, and it helped point the way forward. You see, God is always speaking to people. He's always speaking to people. He has a word for us, always. And we can be good friends by helping others pay attention to tune into that voice of God. and asking good questions that help tune their attention to his voice and presence in their life. Questions like, how's your life with Jesus? What do you see God doing in your life? What is Jesus saying to you these days? How can I pray? Which brings me to the second thing, and with this I'll close. We can be good spiritual friends by praying with and for our friends. Every person, every one of them, that I consider my spiritual friend, they pray for me. There's no exceptions. They all pray. They pray for me, and they pray with me. That's how I know that they care about my life with Jesus. They let me know that they are praying, and they let me know what they are praying. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have when it comes to cultivating and deepening our spiritual friendships with one another. So what can that look like in your life this week? What is the Lord speaking specifically to you about this morning? Take note and follow his lead. Become the kind of friend your heart longs for, and you will have all the friends your heart needs. Let's pray. Jesus, we know what friendship is because we have seen it on the cross. That you laid down your life for us so that we might know the fullness of God and be embraced in as children of his family. And so Jesus, as we follow you today and this week and this month and in the years ahead, we pray that you would deepen the spiritual friendships among us. That at Mission Creek Alliance Church, that we would be so in love with Jesus, with you, that our friendships would never be the same. And that Jesus, as we grow in our love and care and concern for one another's life in Christ, Lord, I pray that you would make us a force for love in our city. That you would make us bearers of your gospel in the city. And so, Lord, we thank you for the friends that we have and the friends you are developing. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cover these things and empower us to go beyond the superficial that we so often feel comfortable and live within. That you would take us deeper, whether that be in a deep Moai type friendship or in a mentorship relationship. But Lord, in all of it, we pray that among us, you would deepen us to know you and share friendship with one another in a way that brings deeper honor and glory to your name. To that end, Lord Jesus, we thank you and we pray. Amen.